This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
We're giving Coach Speak a whole new meaning. This is Coach Speak on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome to Coach Speak. We are live from the Yellow Fiber Studio, and we are brought to you by Buildings by Design. Buildings by Design has a full range of construction services using innovative construction techniques, cutting-edge equipment, and personal relationships with the vendors, designers, and tradesmen. Your project will be handled in a professional and timely manner. Visit buildingsbydesign.com. Well, we're supposed to be on the air this afternoon with the baseball game between the Reds and the Bulldogs. As we look out the window right now, you're thinking, there's no way. Well, the decision will be made at noon, and we will try to relay that maybe to during Brady's show, but the Hull show. But it's not canceled yet, not postponed yet. So hang in there. Hey, this past Monday had always the pleasure of going to the annual Colorado High School Coaches Hall of Fame banquet, and with us today, we're going to have Bob Markham, who's highly involved with the Coaches Association and the Hall of Fame, is a member of the, I believe, 2010, we'll double check with him, Hall of Fame. And then Ron Rossi, who won seven state championships with Holy Family High School, longtime coach in Colorado, entertaining guy, to say the least, and outstanding coach and individual. And then later, Dylan Rubenstein from Fort Collins High School. Man, has this kid knocking it out during the spring season. But let's get to the Clearwater Product Hotline right now and welcome Bob Markham. Bob, how are you, man?
I'm doing well this morning, Coach Dick. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'll tell you what, you've been through a great journey with coaching and education, and you stayed so highly involved in the Coaches Association. Hey, with our Northern Colorado audience, give us just how the ways you got involved first with coaching and your outstanding football career at Buena Vista.
Well, I actually started coaching at my alma mater at Simla High School and coached with Coach Ken Moore, who's also a member of the Hall of Coaches Association Hall of Fame. And then after 8 years of that, I moved to Buena Vista. I kind of wanted to get back to the mountains after going to school at Western State College, and assisted in football for a couple years here, took over the head job, and spent 25 or so years of my 33 years of education and coaching here in Buena Vista. And we had some great athletes come along, and because of that, we had some great football teams in that stretch.
Well, and those great athletes had a tremendous coach in yourself. And you were you also a math teacher? Did I get that right?
That's correct.
I'll tell you what. I had always admired the coaches that were in the classroom. I was mostly a PE teacher, spent a lot of time in the classroom with business ed, too. But math is one of those core subjects that the preparation involvement is just as much as coaching or more. So, man, congratulations on that. Hey, you've spent many years in our High School Coaches Association. What does that organization mean to you personally, Bob?
Well, it means a whole bunch. It gave a lot to me as a young coach. I had a chance to, early in my career, coach in some all-state football games and get involved in that organization, and then later came on as part of the board of directors, did a lot of work with the all-state games and just kind of helping out wherever needed there, and then got invited to serve after being inducted in the Hall of Fame to serve on the selection committee. Ken Moore, who I'd coached with when I was young, was chairing that, and I think he kind of tricked me into it because about 3 years into that, he stepped aside and asked me if I would chair that committee, which is really, really a fun committee to chair because it's all positive stuff when you get to invite coaches into that Hall of Fame.
It is positive stuff, and you're the guy that gets to call the coaches to let them know they've been selected. How fun is that? And have you, what's some of your maybe unusual conversations? Did people not believe you? Did they just go on and not answer? Or tell us some of your fun stories about that.
Well, it's always, as you can imagine, just a really blessing to call somebody and give them that information. And oftentimes there's no response. It's just dead silence for a while, because I think those people are so shocked, because the people that end up there were never coaching to get there to start with. And then it's just, you know, kind of an apple at the end of their career when they were just going about business. And so oftentimes it's just a moment of silence, and you can actually kind of hear a voice breaking up and cry some tears with that you don't necessarily see, but you know are there. So it's a really, really neat deal.
And it's such a special, special moment. Hey, you've also officiated basketball. How many years?
I have done that. I just completed 50 years of doing that. People would think you're a little crazy to do that, but I've really enjoyed that too.
Well, and coaches enjoy having you as an official. I can say that 100% because of the professionalism. And, you know, guys have to have, honestly, they have to have good judgment as well. But what got you, as a football coach, what got you into officiating basketball? I was a basketball coach and officiated football for quite a few years. What got you turned on to the officiating part?
Well, that's an interesting thing. One of my math professors, who was a basketball, football official, baseball umpire, invited me to kind of go into that when I was entering my junior year of college, and had a good relationship with that professor, and so I decided to give it a try, and it was a neat thing to do in college, a little side income.
Sure.
Got really connected with those guys that were traveling from Gunnison to far off places like Norwood to officiate basketball games, and you have these long trips, and it immediately was a relationship thing and a way to stay involved in athletics and really be, it's just like competition. It's really a lot like playing. And I always tell people it's like playing golf. Every once in a while, I play a round of golf, and I think I can do it. And then I go back out and realize I can't do it. And it's the same way as officiating. Once in a while, you have a game, you think you did it well. Most of the time, you're saying, man, I got to do that again to see if I can get it right. So,
what's a couple of your highlight officiating stories?
Oh, man, that's a – you know, one of the most memorable games for me is, for a while – I think it was Class 4A at that time. They played right up to through the quarterfinals at home schools, and I had the privilege of officiating a Longmont High School in Valor Christian for the quarterfinal game, and the Longmont High School gym was packed, people standing at every end and all around there. And
always was.
Reason,
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there was a guy named Christian McCaffrey on the court that evening. And I don't even remember who won the game, to tell you the truth. But it was a fun, fun environment. And, you know, Coach Kloster, who was a great basketball official himself before he decided to just stay on the coaching side, always makes it fun. But he knows the game, so he can challenge you too, and that's a fun thing. I love the combination of having been a coach and official together, because I think you can understand both sides a little better once you've been there.
Absolutely. Fun stuff. Hey, the other night you had the privilege of, you know, introducing all the five inductees, and we're going to have Coach Rossi on here in a minute. But one of those gentlemen was Bob Wood, an outstanding coach. And you had the chance to spend quite a few years at Buena Vista, you being the football coach, Bob being the basketball coach. Tell us about some of the relationships, not just with Bob, but you've been able to build throughout your tenure.
Oh, wow. There's so many of those. I've mentioned Ken Moore, you know, a couple times, and Bob Wood was another one of those. We had Ben Avery was on the coaching staff with us in basketball, so there's three of us. I coached freshman, and Ben was a JV coach, and Bob was a varsity coach, and relationships that'll just go with me all my life. And you learn so much from those guys. You know, every coach has a little different approach, but you can always learn stuff from the other one. Officiating is exactly the same thing, and I really respect him and what he's done as a coach, and, you know, we all have different styles, and his was different than some, but man, there was a lot to be learned from that. And I would say we're good friends to this day.
And that's the bottom line, the relationship you have built. You know, I just chuckled with Bob giving the analogy in his speech about trying to enter a year where he was just going to be calm, sit on the bench, and I could totally relate, you know. And you try it for about, I think he lasted maybe a quarter or two quarters, right. And then, you have to be yourself. Bob, I just want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, and thank you for what you do within the Colorado High School Coaches Association and the years of service. You are truly a servant and one that many can model their character after, and highly appreciated from this end.
Oh, well, those are really nice words, Bruce, and I hope I can just continue to live up to a few of them. So thanks for having me on. I really appreciate what you do in this show. I try to catch it often, and I always feel like I'm learning from coaches I listen to.
Well, thank you so much. We'll be in contact. Thank you, Bob. Okay. Markham, the outstanding former coach. Man, he had some tremendous teams and talents that he coached, and just one of those really good officials that when he walks on the floor, you just kind of like, yeah, this is all good. And the many relationships he's built, and did an outstanding job Monday night at the Coaches Hall of Fame dinner. And we certainly appreciate him. Micah?
So he never teed you up?
Oh, I don't know. We didn't ask him that, and I can't remember.
Okay, just curious. You seem to think the world of him, but
I do. But you know, not as many tees as people might think during the career.
Okay,
you know, but
I mean, you're
certainly a few. I was, yeah, certainly a few back in the early days. Very passionate, I would say. Still, I'm very
man. I would love
today.
I'd love to get back in a time machine.
Well, this
and see
next,
Bruce in the passionate days.
We're going to have Ron, and we need to take a break, I know. But one of the probably the most, what do you want to say, moments that you wish you could take back, I believe was coaching against Coach Rossi coming up. We'll have to share that because a button on my coat broke because my sports coat, because it hit the ground so hard. So we'll maybe share some fun stuff with Ron Rossi after this. Let's take a break so we can get to him.
Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. McKinnon. Jokic. Makar. Murray. Hear the postseason legends and their quest for another title on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to Coach Speak. Well, we are attempting to get Coach Rossi on the line. He is in a bad spot. Just got a text. He says that the phone call is not going through, so we will maybe continue to try, or he will call in if he has that opportunity. We will just keep going with it. But hey, in the meantime, yeah, we'll get word at noon officially on the game between the Bulldogs and the Reds today. But let's just go over some of the scores from yesterday. And as Thursday is, there are some really interesting things happening in high school baseball. But let's just throughout the state, Douglas County, they defeated Castleview 8-0. Caliche out on the Eastern. Hey, when Caliche and Prairie get playing each other, it is something special out there. Caliche gets on top of Prairie 10-7. Micah, check this score out. This is a baseball score, okay? Over in the northwestern part of the state, Rangeley was the host. Now, I'm familiar where Rangeley is because I actually went to JUCO over there. But Norfolk puts up 36 runs against Rangeley. Rangeley scores 10. So I'm guessing this was probably only a three-inning game. Because after 20 in high school, it's the mercy rule somewhat. So they either went three or four innings, I'm guessing. But can you imagine 46 times a runner crossed home plate?
I've heard about that in college where a team scored 49. But that team won a bunch of games in a row. I've never heard this in high school. And this is why we have a mercy.
This is why we have a mercy rule. Yeah.
The worst game we ever had was, I think Platte Valley was involved, and I think they were on the mercy end of it. It was like 23-0. Back then, I only thought there was one mercy rule. I thought there were five innings. This one ended at three. It was ridiculous. I'm like, what? There's a three-inning mercy rule?
Yeah, there is a three-inning mercy rule. So from this, I can't tell whether this went three or five. Would have to look into it. But crazy. But these high-scoring baseball games across the state. Here's another one.
Are you sure that wasn't a T-ball game?
Yeah. Well, in T-ball, they would just let the Ron is calling me right now.
All right, so I will. I'll try to call him.
Okay. We'll just take this on the air. You know, why not? I'll say, Ron, we're in the show, and Mike is going to try to call you again, or you call into Micah.
Yeah, every time I call it, goes to a message.
Okay, we're going to a message. So, Mike is going to attempt to call you again right now as we're in our time slot here. We're going over baseball scores, so we're good. We'll try to catch you here in a bit, but Mike is calling you now. So going on, we're trying. This is what Coach Speak does. Micah, our producer back there, he does wonders. So if we can get Ron on, we will. But hey, Yuma out there, 10-5 win over Wiggins. And we have Coach Rossi with us. Let's hope the phone call holds because he's not in Colorado. Ronnie, the Rocket, how are you, man?
I'm doing great in the land of sun.
You are in Cancun. Okay, well, I'll tell you, saw you Monday night. I'll tell you what, I had a blast just watching you and your fans all around, too. But you did a great job, by the way. What was your reaction? I just had Bob Markham on a little bit ago, but what was your reaction when Bob called you to let you know you're being inducted into Colorado Coaches Hall of Fame?
It was just a great little moment in my career and just a really excitement and the energy to get up there and just express what went on in my life. That was pretty cool.
And you know, I've known you for a long time, and thank you. I learned a lot of things about you as well. You know, as far as your growing up and all the different sports. Us coaches, most of us grew up just loving sports. But as you look back in your youth, and did you have a favorite sport growing up?
Not really. It was just whatever season.
There it is. Yeah.
Every season was just. But you know, times have changed so much in the way that when you're coaching now, everybody's just one sport, just like athletes. But when we started, you taking a job, you did all three sports. You know, as much as you could, at least two sports a year. Definitely.
You know, back in our era, to break into education, you know, coaching was maybe an important thing when they asked the question, can you coach this? And you didn't give it any thought. You just said yes, because you wanted the job.
Yeah, you wanted to teach the game and help young kids. But I think that us young coaches, we needed actually that extra, I'm going to be really honest, we needed the extra money.
Exactly.
So we accepted that job. Because paying scales were like, you know, very minimal, about $1 an hour, basically.
Yeah, my first teaching job was less than $5,000 a year, people. We're not talking a month. We're talking a year. But you had such a great career and in Jeffco. And, of course, we battled back and forth, when you were at Lakewood High School and I was at Green Mountain High School. Then you go to Holy Family and just found another home to where you just flourished and took that program to places where many programs just can't get, Ron. Seven state championships. Talk about your relationship with all those Holy Family coaches and people and teachers, because it was, I know, something very special.
I'm just going to kind of jump on that too, but I think all that experience that I got when I started, the very first year, I was doing head tennis coach, head gymnastics coach, and sophomore basketball coach. All of those sports that are going into Holy Family, I knew how to run a program. And I, after talking about my career, I think that was a really beneficial thing that I was in charge of programs and had to develop my own program to be successful.
Well said. And yes, I knew you coached tennis. I did not know you coached gymnastics. Tell us about that first year of teaching and coaching, and what the heck did you know about gymnastics?
Well, I was a diver in college. Well, actually,
okay.
I went to nationals.
There you go.
I went to nationals as a diver on the 3-meter board. So I did letter in gymnastics, but it was just trampling and tumbling. So what any good coach does is you find good assistants. So I found a guy that knew the rings, a guy that knew the horse, and so that helps a lot. So I was just kind of the organizer, and I let my assistants coaches coach the different apparatus.
That is so much great information, because a lot of people just don't understand where people start at, and they see you on the bench or they see coaches on the diamond and don't know exactly what brought that to fruition and so forth. Hey, your team showed special talents a lot, and you were one of those guys that was certainly entertaining and fun watching coach your kids, whether it was boys or girls, that came up with your nickname, Rocket Ron.
Pretty animated.
and a lot of people don't understand that great animation. I do. I understand it because I've seen you display it and seen the passion that you have with your players and your assistants. Talk to us about the passion of coaching basketball.
Wow, that goes way back,
The passion, I know it does.
The passion of the sport, and being at Colorado College and going there and then jumping to coaching, and had some great mentors that, involved, Tom McCormick, Dennis Duncan, Tom Asbury. Those are the few that I started at Arvada.
We share that last one, Tom Asbury, who my student taught under.
Oh, you did? I didn't even know that. Wow. Big Tom, man. And I think, as soon as I got involved coaching, actually I go way back, because I was a diving coach in college at my swimming pool that I was the manager of, and so I developed my own program there. And so passion of teaching kids skills and seeing what they got out of the sport, lifelong skills, and then I think all of a sudden I got excited. I went to, I don't know if you remember, the Fort Lewis basketball camp. It was the biggest camp by Chuck Walker. It was just huge camp.
Yes.
And every good coach, I was rooming with Ron Blazine and what was it, Tom McCracken from Fairview?
Yeah, Tom McCracken, Fairview, sure.
Yeah, and so being around these great coaches, I was going one more, the guy that invented the flex offense. He was there at that camp too, and I can't remember.
Not Roy Edwards.
No, it wasn't Ray Edwards.
Lowell Rumpf?
Yes.
Okay, and good point, because Lowell actually coached under Roy, who invented the spots offense, which we call flex. They called it spots at the time.
Yeah. And that's where I really got turned on. Hey, I want to be like them. And to do that, you got to go search knowledge and get out and go to clinics and You know, things have changed how kids can learn the game, you know, because you got the internet.
Yeah, you shared, I believe, in your speech, one of the coaches, college coaches you looked at. Correct me if I'm wrong, because there's many people talked. But Dean Smith from North Carolina.
Oh, definitely. He was more influenced than Bobby. More so than even Bobby Knight. And then it moved on to different coaches. But it's amazing. You find a coach you really like.
Yes.
And some have success and some don't. The coach from Arkansas was a great women's coach. And then he went to he was at Washington State. And then he went to Arkansas. I had no luck. It's just weird. Some places work and some don't.
Yeah, that's right. You know, for every game that's played, somebody wins and somebody loses. Hey, getting back to Dean Smith, I'll share this with you and our audience. The very first serious clinic I went to as a young coach, Dean Smith was the primary speaker. And I was in awe and realized, Bruce, you know nothing about this game right now. And along with Dean Smith was a coach from high school coach from Lutheran High in Long Island. His last name was Vischer. And he went over everything and you know, taking notes. You know, I'm just trying to write down every word verbatim and trying, you know, to just get that knowledge. But Dean Smith hurt him several times. He's one of those guys that was not only a great coach, he was a great clinician.
Yeah, very innovative in the game. Very innovative in the game. You know, and so many good things came from him. And they take a little Bobby Knight, you take a little guy from Michigan State, does his stuff.
Sure.
And you just keep adding to your tools.
That's what you do as coaches, and you try to come up with what fits your system and those building blocks for your program. Micah, our wonderful producer that was trying to, get you on the phone, we sit across from each other in this studio every day, and he says, did you have any, you know, excitable moments, basically? Like, did you ever get teed up? And Ron, let's go back to the Jeffco days.
You need lots of details. Copious amount of details.
You battled against, you know, as I did, against so many great coaches. But it was truly fun energy when Green Mountain and Lakewood hooked up in boys basketball.
Oh, for sure. I made that remark that we had 6 1-point game, one or two, one basket, let's say a basket game between us.
Oh, gosh.
Double OTs.
Yeah.
So many.
Yeah,
so
yes. And I remember I shared this with you the other night. You shared one, we're playing, and we all have our general little rules about last possessions and tied games and things like that. And our rule, and still is, that we try to take that last shot with 4 seconds, which gives you time maybe for a follow, but doesn't give the time, you know, for the other team to score. So we're in that situation, and our guy shoots it with 6 seconds, misses. What do you do? You'll have to remind me of the guard that got the ball and on the other side of half court launched it, and yep, nothing but net, baby.
The Tigers
defeat the Rams, and we're not only devastated, I'm a little ticked off we shot the ball too early.
And, you know, it, once again, the kids play the game. You can influence them, but they still play the game.
Oh, that is fun. Ron, we've got to do this again. We have another guest coming up after our next segment. But congratulations again on the induction to the Coaches Hall of Fame. Well-deserved. And enjoy it and enjoy your time off, my friend.
You too, buddy. Thanks very much for this experience.
Oh, Ronnie Rossi, we could talk forever, have him on this show, but tremendous coach, both on the boys' side and the girls' side. That's what I, just admire so much, too. He spent all those many years in Jeffco at Lakewood and goes on to coach girls at Holy Family, and man, were they fortunate to have him. Micah, we need to take a break because we have a special baseball player coming up after these messages.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling like rising before the sun and finishing your day after it sets. Like lending a hand to the neighbors who need it. Like finally putting your feet up after all the hours you put in. Our state was forged by passion and determination. And we serve the people behind it. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to Coach Speak. We are live from the Yellow Fiber Studio. I'll tell you what, Northern Colorado this year, there are numerous really good baseball players. But I'll tell you what, I'm not sure there's one better than this kid right now. Dylan Rubenstein, Fort Collins High School, in 1 week gets a shutout on the mound. Catcher by trade. We'll ask him about that. And a grand slam. All in 1 week. Okay, as the Lampkins defeat Loveland twice, back-to-back games. Joining us on the Clearwater Product Hotline is Dylan Rubenstein. How are you, Dill?
Doing great. How are you?
I'll tell you what, great week for you guys, huh?
Yeah, yep.
You know, you get the two big wins, and you don't have to fight the weather today. You're not scheduled today, are you?
No, we're scheduled for tomorrow.
Yeah, scheduled for tomorrow, and that might turn out fine. It's supposed to move in and out fairly quickly. But, hey, talk to us about this week, Dylan, and let's go back on the mound because I'm biased toward pitchers anyway. I want to hear about this shutout and what you had going for you, man.
Yeah, coming into this week, we were a little behind with wins and losses on where we wanted to be. So we knew coming into this week that it was going to be a huge one for us if we could come away with two wins. And Coach Lane told me that I was going to get the start on Tuesday. So just took it and ran with it. Had a great scouting report and just knew how to get the job done. And so, you know, the last thing to do was go out there and do it.
Yeah, you know, and you guys offensively had it going that day as well, Tuesday as well. And then yesterday, Thursday, bases jammed. And tell me what you're thinking as you approach the plate and your approach with the bases loaded.
Yeah, I went up there. My approach was definitely to hit the fastball. I got down 0-2 and, you know, I kind of changed my mindset, started sitting curveball. And that's exactly what I got and got the job done.
So a little backward pitch in there. You anticipated it. Curveball on the 2-0 count. And tell us about the home run, man. The grand slam.
Oh, yep. Yeah, it felt great. Had a little help from the wind, I will admit it. But, yeah, felt great. And, yeah, just really happy I was able to put together a good at-bat, good swing for my team.
Dylan, a month from now, nobody's going to talk about the wind. Okay, so you got to hit the ball. You got to have solid, you know, contact. But what you did, is that your first grand slam of your high school career?
I think it is, yep, yeah.
Well, you think it is. I mean, man, that's a memorable moment. But I'll tell you what, you're a good hitter and offensively right now hitting .396. A catcher by trade, I guess I would say. Talk about you have been that athlete that's been able to catch for coach. I think you started during your freshman year, was in need of a position change to help the team to get to shortstop. Now you're back to catching. Talk to us about that process, Dylan.
Yeah, like you said, started off my high school career catching. And then, I ended up moving to third base, and a senior was catching. So, a lot of my focus was taking a shortstop. And that's where I played during my summers and falls. But I've been catching for so long that it's almost like riding a bike for me, you know. I'm able to get back there, and it all just comes back to me within, you know, even a few innings, I'd say. So, Coach Lane came to me, and you know, where I'm going to Garden City, the idea is that I'm going to catch there. So we kind of agreed that you know, possibly catching at least one or two games a week would be good for me. And then when I move on into the summer, I'll be catching more there.
Sure, sure. And you've made that commitment to Garden City. Congrats on that, man. I love the JUCO approach.
Thank you.
You know, after high school, I think that's really, really a good decision. But tell us about your relationship with Garden City, because I know there is one there with Coach Lane, and how that evolved to making that commitment to play there at the next level.
Yeah, Coach Lane and his son Ty, you know, I've had that connection for a while. I love Ty. Ty's an awesome guy. And then he's gotten a bunch of opportunities to watch me play. You know, I've been able to show my strengths. So, yeah, I went out there for a visit and just absolutely loved it. And then, like you said, I was so drawn to the JUCO route, you know, being able to have 2 years to develop, play against good college guys, and then the Jayhawk League's an amazing league. So just really, really drawn to that opportunity. So when it came up, I took it and ran with it.
You know, you mentioned the Jayhawk League, and boy, it is a great league, and so many terrific players come out of that league. If Coach says to, you know, next game, hey, Dylan, you can play anywhere on the field today, where's it going to be?
I'd be right behind the dish.
There you go, baby. I kind of anticipated that answer. But, hey, yep. As a catcher, and obviously going on the mound too, I mean, gosh, you have an 0.98 ERA right now, so you know what to do. How much, with the experience of some pitching, does that help you as a catcher to make a connection with the guys on the mound?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, like, the emotional side of things, like, you know, if I'm catching a pitcher and things aren't going his way, you know, I can almost, like, feel him in a way, so I can go out there, talk to him, you know, let him know what he wants to hear. And then also, like, the more technical side of things, you know, based off of, you know, if a hitter's way out in front of a ball, sure, calling pitchers and that kind of piece of it. But yeah, I think, you know, knowing also, like, with me pitching, it helps with me also being able to relate to the pitchers I'm catching, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you get to call the pitches, or does Coach call the pitches from the dugout?
We've had Coach calling the pitches from the dugout.
Okay, and that relationship there. And how often on the mound, when you're on the mound, how often do you shake off?
Pretty rarely. Very rarely. Yeah,
knowing
I have a lot of trust in my coach. So.
Knowing that relay system, and exactly, and it's a terrific, you guys. Hey, you're 8-7, a lot of games left. You're going to be a playoff team. I know you're probably not happy with that record, and it's going to get, you know, improving as the year goes on. But you guys are, I'll tell you what, when you're on all cylinders, you guys are really a good team, fun to watch and keep track of. Dylan, we got cut short because we went too long with these interviews before us, but we are following you. Congratulations on the great week you've had, and your guys are going to be a fun team to watch down into the playoffs. Thanks for hopping
thank
on
you so
today.
Much, Coach.
Thank you. Dylan Rubenstein, I'll tell you what, this kid's, he's not a good player. He's a terrific, great high school player. And Coach Lane has the luxury of, you can play anywhere on the diamond. But yeah, terrific catcher. We need to take a break, and we'll be back after this to wrap up Coach Speak.
103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Broncos, Nuggets, Avs, and the local college scene. Get it all on the Hull Show, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to Coach Speak. Hey, I want to thank Bob Markham. Great job he does with our Coaches Association. Thank Ronnie Rossi, the Rocket, for his induction into the Hall of Fame, and Dylan Rubenstein as well. Boy, this kid can play. He can play some ball. I'll tell you what, the Rockies win last night. Brady and Tanner, it's not the Dirty 30 anymore. It's the Dirty 23. So one more win for them. I'm sure. I'm anxious to see if the good today on the whole show is the Colorado Rockies. We'll find out. Make today your masterpiece. We love you, Northern Colorado.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.